Appreciate that sweet prayer. Humble prayer. We need that prayer. We stand. We always need prayer. We need to pray for one another. Pray for each other. Hope we've come praying. Hope we've come praying for the meat. Hope we've come seeking after the Lord and looking for things above. There's a lot of old trouble in this world. A lot of old trouble from day to day. And I guess the thoughts that are on my mind today are the thoughts that have been on my mind are kind of some of y'all that heard this morning at Thumb Run, kind of the same thoughts that are on my mind of what we have, where it's at, and how we, as God's little children, are to live here and make it here in this world, this low ground of sin and sorrow in which we have to toil. And I'm thankful that we have a great God in heaven who I believe as we believe, we know He secured our home in heaven with redemption, right? Through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who secured our eternal salvation, our home in heaven. I believe that, don't you? I believe God loved us before the foundation of the world. I believe He made choice of us. He saw us before. He's everlasting to everlasting. And He made choice of us, chose us, loved us, sent His Son, redeemed us, and has secured our home there eternally. And I'm thankful that He didn't leave that up to me or Brother Daddy or any other preacher or any other man. I'm thankful. But I'm also thankful that we have a great God who didn't just save us eternally and then say, y'all go figure it out. He didn't do that for us either, did He? No, He's provided everything we stand in need of. We're His creation. He made us. Just like He made everything else we see around us, and He provides for those living creatures. They don't need a thing. They don't sit outside in the wintertime and go, boy, it's cold. No, they don't, do they? They make it because God provides for them. How much better are we, being who we are and how He created us and how much love He has for us and the securing of not just our bodies but our souls, us in the completeness. Right now we're here in this low ground of sin and sorrow in this body of flesh, and we fight in a war against powers and principalities and against things we can't see, against our old carnal nature, because it's still ever present with us. But one day He's going to come back and He's going to take us home to be with Him, and these bodies are going to be changed and we're going to be made perfect. And I'm looking forward to that day. But until that time, I'm thankful that He's given us a home here in this church where we can come out of the world, where we can come out of the things that are around about us, and we can come in here and we can be amongst brethren who are in the exact same boat we all in. We stand in ever-present need of Almighty God for daily salvation. We need Him at all the time. We need Him all the time. I need Him all the time. I need Him ever-present with me. And He is. He's right there with me. But sometimes I can just get distracted. Aren't you glad our God's not distracted? Aren't you thankful our God's not distracted? Apostle Paul says, even when I would do good, I find evil present with me. And as much as I want to remember every verse to the song and what verse we own, I get distracted. Aren't you glad that when our God don't get distracted and He knows everything all the time? That's a God we serve. And that's a power and a rest in which, that's a rest. Let me just say, that's something you can lean on. Why? Because He made us alive. We couldn't do a thing dead. Brother Daddy preached on it so ably this morning. You get anything else in front of getting life is wrong. You can't do nothing without life. Right? You can't smell it. There's nothing you can do. Just think about it. Just think about the state of being dead. Think about roadkill on the side of the road. Right? We've all seen plenty of that. It can't get itself up and pick itself up out the way. It can't even roll over good. Right? It ain't worried about anything. It's not worried about whether a car comes down the road and runs over it or not. It don't feel anything because it's dead. And we were dead, brethren. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. And he quickened us and made us alive. And now we've been made alive. Once you're alive, what happens next? Typically, you need to eat. You need sustenance. You need to be sustained. You need water. He provides that for us here spiritually. I don't want to run off too far. I'll give a text and try to... Y'all know where I'm going if you heard me this morning. Psalm 46. And I'm going to read the psalm and we'll come back and try to talk a little bit. And just point some things out. I want to tell you how good our God is and how great he is today. And his riches and his grace, they're unsearchable. So as much as I want to sit here and tell you how great he is, and I'll do everything I can, I'll never cover it. I'll never even cover a portion of it. I can't cover it. We could get every preacher we've ever known, and he could preach it all day, and we'd never cover how great God is. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, everything I told you about that right there, when I read that, doesn't that make you feel good? That God is our refuge. God is. He always is. You ever think about that? God's never been nothing. God is. He's always been is. He's been ever present all the time. He is the beginning and he will be the end. God is our. Well, I love that possessive pronoun. That means something belongs to something. I belong to him. I belong to him because he chose me. He made choice of me because he loved me. And then he opened my eyes and he made me hungry. He's been a refuge for me. When the light comes on and the light shines on your pathway, you realize how wrong it is and how much dirt is really there. Right? And when the light hits and shows you which way you're going, boy, now you're in the light and it's God's light. It's the light of our Lord who shines His light on our pathway and shows us which way to go with this Word of God that He's left here for us. This instruction book, He didn't just save us eternally and leave us to ourselves. He sent His Son, who is the Word, left us the written Word to follow, and gave us an instruction book and told us where the refuge is. He's shown us where the refuge is. He's given us the coordinates to the refuge and called us and shown us that. That refuge is not for everybody. It's for who He chose. It's for His people. That's us. God is our refuge and strength. We already know we have no strength in and of ourselves. We've just been made alive. How do we have strength? We have strength in Christ. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Turn here to Ephesians. I'll show you that word strength. Ephesians 1, starting at 17, says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Man, we are alive now. Our eyes are enlightened that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. That's what He's given us, what we inherited. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. That's strength. That's strength. That's where our strength comes from. It's what is the exceeding greatness of His power to who? Usward, again, possessive, usward, who believe. How do we believe? Because we've been made alive and given faith to believe. I believe I have that right. And therein, brethren, there's some strength. There's some strength there. There's some, and any God that can give us eternal life, certainly He can keep us. Now look, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And what? Every name that is named. He is far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. God is our refuge and strength. Amen. That's where it is. A very present help in trouble. Very present. That means He's right here, right now, always with us, will never leave us, will never forsake us, has never left us and never forsaken us. And we are always in trouble, aren't we, brethren? Aren't we always in trouble? I'm always in trouble. I know me, I'm always in trouble. Even when I think I'm not in trouble, I'm in trouble. That's usually when I'm in the most trouble. Right? Is when I realize, when I realize, oh, I think I got everything figured out. Right? That's not a refuge. Yourself, that's not a refuge. When you start looking at, but I build mine sometimes, right? You know what that is? That's pride. That's pride. Isaiah 28. And He is speaking here to the children of Israel, but He's calling them by a different name. It says, verse 1, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Boy, that pride is a tough word for us. Because we like to think we got to have it. We got to get it together. It's about what you got to do. We even look at a kid, I'm so proud of you. And if you don't do that, I'm not proud of you. Think about our vocabulary. What is pride? I'm going to tell you what pride is. It's a sin. It's a root sin. It's what they kicked Satan out of heaven for being prideful. It's a fall. He thought himself more than God. And he was removed. And it's in all of us. And most of the time, When I find out what my problem is, when God reproves me and shows me the error of my ways because He loves me, thank you, Lord. Usually it's my pride that's the problem. It's not what so-and-so has done. It's not what this has been. It's not what this situation was. It's how it affected me and what my thoughts were about it. It wasn't everything that went on around it. It was what I felt like I needed. Does that make sense? I hope it does, because when we start looking at the root sometimes of things that go on around us, it usually has to do with how much pride we have about a certain situation. He says here, when you make that refuge in yourself, Isaiah 28:15 says, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. In other words, these Israelites thought because they had a natural covenant, had a covenant or an agreement, that they could just do and live any old way they wanted to, and God was going to take care of them because they were natural Israelites. And sometimes I think we get caught up in our own way of thinking. We could build our own refuge. That's in short what I'm trying to say, brethren. But we already have a refuge built. We're just wasting the labor because God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. We're back, going back to 46 here. Going back to 46, Psalm 46. I'm going to keep a finger in Isaiah there, though, because I want to get somewhere, and then I'll get out your way, Brother Daddy. Y'all keep praying for me, please. I love you all so much. It might help if I go the right direction. That usually helps. He says in Psalm 46, because of all those things that we said, because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. That means, though everything in this whole earth is going on around us, everything that we see on the news, all these, we need to understand, God's people, that God is in charge of everything that's happening out there and in here, and He is our refuge in here. With Him, through Him, we are safe. He's a very present help for us. And though everything goes on around us, though the mountains, though the earth be removed, if everything we thought of and had in this country today fell away and fell apart tomorrow, our God is still on His throne. And our God is still as strong and as mighty as He's ever been. Nothing changes God. Our God doesn't change. Governments rise, governments fall. Kings get put up and kings get put down, and God's hand is on all of it. So we'll not fear. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar, all that noise around us, all the noise of the world and the volume of the stuff that we hear on our televisions and on our social media sites and on our radios and in the things that we ingest when we go out here into the world and we don't go fully armed. There's a lot of things going on around us. What I'm saying is, when God gives us our refuge, we can come in here. Amen. And we can be protected from all of that. We're protected in here. We're protected out there too. I don't want to get it confused. God is everywhere present, nowhere absent. He watches over us every day, all the time. He is with His people. It's all the time. But I'm telling you, as a little child of God, when you're out there in that world, you're looking for a place to come, and you're hungering and thirsting, and you get over here where it says, the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. That means that the whole world bulging with pride. Selah, pause for a minute and think. And then what does it say? There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. In John chapter 7, Jesus says, it says in 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, in here, in this house of God, when the preaching is going on and the praising is happening and the singing is taking place, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Right here, the streams are flowing right here today. From heaven above, from God who's blessed us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, where he gives us that living water. He's promised to give us that living water. Go to Isaiah 41. Go to Isaiah 41. He says, I really like this. Isaiah 41. He says, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, this is verse 17, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord God, will hear them. The God of Israel will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places. You ever seen a river on a mountain? This is really the only place I can tell you that I've ever seen a river on a mountain, because rivers don't come from high places ordinarily. But this says, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Man, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. That's us. That's where we are tonight, I hope. Seeking and thirsting after that living water. It is the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Where two or three are gathered together, there he is in the midst. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. He's going to hold us and keep us here until it's time to go. Until it's time to go, God's church will have a place and a presence on this earth. He's going to keep it until it's time to be called away. God shall help her, and that right early. God is our refuge, brethren. Though everything goes on around us and we can sometimes want to get so, we can let these cares of the world, when we don't put our face in the right place, when we don't seek after God, when we become overwhelmed, let us comfort one another and pray for each other, that when the storms come, we know where we have to turn. And not only when the storms come, but on the days when the sun's shining, every day, in the morning, at noon, at night, in the little things in the meantime, pray without ceasing. Seek after our God. Know where the refuge is, because it's around you. It's around you. Let's not build our own, because that's lies. That is unfaithfulness that will not prosper. And let's not be discouraged or despairing, knowing our God is in charge. He sets up kings. He removes kings. And though the mountains be removed, we shall not fear. He's on his throne. And one sweet day, I can't wait. I can't stand myself. I can't wait to be happy with myself. The only way I'll ever be happy with myself is in the presence of the Lord, knowing I'll be like him. That's the only way. I love y'all very much. Thank y'all for your kind attention. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, son.
I love you.
Thank the Lord for that. For amen. Pray for me. Lead us in a hymn, if you don't mind.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now
thoroughly enjoyed the meeting thus far. Thank the Lord for the good preaching. Thank the Lord for the sweet prayer and the sweet song service. I appreciate y'all, your prayers for me. And Brother Terry, if you don't mind, you can give me a bottle of water. I think I drank it, what you brought me earlier, brother. I appreciate it. If you have your Bibles, and again, I am very thankful for what we've heard. I'm so thankful for this refuge the Lord has provided for us. And I do believe we've gathered together in the house of God, and it's been like a river. The Lord has provided for me here. The wonderful things that He's put in His church. David talked about in Psalm 23, green pastures and still waters, a place of restoration. And I've certainly found in the fellowship of the Lord and the fellowship of the Lord's people that sweet dwelling place, a hiding place in the storms of this life. And just thank God for all that He's allowed us to see. If you have your Bibles, let's read together just very quickly. Luke chapter 7, I'd like to begin reading in verse 36. And I've got quite a few verses here on my mind, and I know that I don't want to wear you out this evening, but I do have some thoughts I'm going to take the time to share with you. You just pray the Lord to be with us for a little bit. I know this is a passage I've used quite often, and it's come on my mind very much as of last night. The more that Brother Jimmy spoke today, the more I felt like I was being led in the right, well, I know if I was being led, I was going to be in the right place. But
amen.
Sometimes I wonder if it's me leading, or you know, I want to follow the leadership of the Lord. And in saying that, I want to remind you that be careful with feeling leadership. It's important that you try the spirits to see whether they be of God or whether they're not. There are times we feel led to do something, and the old adversary might come and allow us to think that it's the Lord leading us,
right,
when it's not the Lord at all.
That's right.
And so it's important for us to, we follow the leadership of the Spirit in our heart, but always try that Spirit by the Word of God. Make sure you're using the Word of God to guide you, that it is indeed the Lord's Spirit that's guiding you.
That's right.
I say that because sometimes I've heard, and I know I've said it myself, and I felt in the times past that it was the Lord leading me to do something. And really, when I tried that Spirit, I found that it wasn't the Lord at all that was leading me. It was me leading myself, thinking and excusing sometimes myself that it was of the Lord. And we can go into some places with a whole lot of zeal that is misplaced by trying to do some things that God never led us to do.
That's right. You're right.
And sometimes our first thoughts are not the best thoughts. We need to take the time to try the Spirit to see that there be of God. But anyway, I don't even know why I got onto all that, but the Lord knows. So he says here in Luke 7:36, says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. This is the Pharisee desiring Jesus to eat with him. And behold means stop, pause, look at this closely. It's not just written there. Every verse in the Bible is important, but when you come to the word behold, there's an important lesson that's about to be
Amen.
Given. He says, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. You can almost feel that Pharisaical look that was coming from this man as he looked upon this woman who was a known sinner, no doubt a known woman in the community, that he, in his mind and in his thought, couldn't possibly be a little child of grace, and couldn't possibly be one who was really doing the right thing.
Right.
And if this man, whom this woman was coming to see, had really known who she was, he wouldn't even have let her touch him. She was an uninvited guest at this Pharisee's house. She wasn't one that he said, oh, you come on in and eat with us. He had invited Jesus to come in, but he hadn't shown Jesus the proper respect. But this woman, because Jesus was in the house, she wasn't there in order to show herself to be something or felt to be something. As a matter of fact, everything about her shows that she was just the opposite. She didn't feel like she was worthy of his presence. She didn't feel like she was worthy of being with the Lord, but she knew this is where he would have me to be, and she desired to show unto him the respect and the honor that the Lord had given her in her heart to do. It goes on and it says, and Jesus answering said unto him, in other words, he's speaking to the man, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. And he goes on, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. He says, But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he saith to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. This Pharisee had asked Jesus to come to his house. Today we gather. I hope and pray we gather not just to see one another. I was anxious to see you. Thankful to see you. Thank the Lord for each of you. I miss not seeing you. Glad to see you online, but it's a lot better seeing you in person, and I'm thankful that you're here. But the most important one that needs to be here at this meeting is the one that brings the fire, is the one that brings the light, is the one who gives us everything that we need, and that's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the one that we need any time that we gather. I asked Sharon about a particular verse. I didn't know exactly where it was, and sometimes when I'm driving, it's not good for me to be looking it up on the phone or in the Bible. So I knew we were about to leave the house, so I asked her to look up this verse. And it's one that Jimmy quoted or mentioned in his preaching. And that's in Matthew 18 and verse 20. Verse 19 says this, Matthew 18. It says, Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Isn't that a powerful verse when you think about it? He says, Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. Now that's not a blanket check that we're just to come up with on our own. Where should our minds be? We should delight ourselves in the Lord, and our hearts should be focused on the things of God.
Amen.
So the things that I want and the things that you want ought to be the things that God would have for
us. Right.
Not the things that we just want and desire, like I like a big house, so I'm going to just get a brother to come and pray with me that we'll have a big house and think that we can just have God give us a big house because we're agreeing together. God didn't promise that. That's not what this verse teaches. I say that simply because there are many men and others who have taken this verse and misapplied it to think that we just have the authority to ask God for anything willy-nilly, and God would be obligated, because he's made this promise, he would be obligated to give us just whatsoever we ask. Well, that's a misapplication of this verse.
Yes,
what this verse is saying is, when my mind and my thoughts are in accord with the will of God, and when your mind and your thoughts are in accord with the will of God, and you and I have need of something that God would have for us to have, and we're in trouble and we need him, God is our refuge and a great present help in a time of trouble. And if we ask him as a church for that which we need, I believe he'll grant it. I believe he'll grant it in our homes. I believe he grants it in our personal lives. I believe he'll grant it in the lives of our brothers and sisters in the church. And that's the reason when we come together, we ought to come praying and looking to the Lord But above everything, we should try the spirits.
Amen.
To see that it's of the Lord and that we're asking for the right thing. Now, because we're weak and feeble, we know that there's going to be sometimes we ask amiss. That's why we say, the Lord willing, Lord grant this. The Lord willing, give us that. So it's not about what I want, about what you want, but what's best for us. And Lord, help me to be reconciled to thy will. Help me, O Lord, to ask for the right thing. And help me to ask believing and trusting and depending. So whatever's going on with you, whatever you got as far as the trouble, whatever need you have, we can just turn it over to the Lord and cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us.
Amen.
And yet it's important for us to understand, he says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Yeah.
So when we got here, it's not just about Brother J.D. showed up, Sister Belinda, and Brother Mike, Sister Diana, and all of you that gathered together.
Right.
It's about two or three of us showing up, and we're showing up not for any purpose willy-nilly, but we're showing up to worship in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're showing up to pray together. We're showing up to show love to one another. We're showing up to hear from the Word of God. We're showing up to be fed. We're showing up to be, if you're called to preach the Word. If you're one that has a need, we want to be instructed. And we should ask God to give us just what we need. You see,
Amen.
He knows what we need.
That's right.
Even before we get here, he knows just what we need. And I believe from this verse that when we come praying and asking God to bless our meetings, he'll bless our meetings. And when you stand in need of something, whether it is a minister that needing to feed the flock, or whether it's a little brother or sister who needs some instruction from the Word of God, I've had it happen too many times to doubt it. There's been times I've come and felt so low and down and out and empty, and the Lord has filled my cup, and my cup flowed over, and I'm drinking, as the brother said, from the saucer, because my cup is overflowed. He's able to fill our cup, and it, as the one brother said, and when it overflows, it kind of splashes on somebody. I hope you leave here with a cup full, and I hope you'll splash it everywhere you go. I hope you'll share this
Amen.
Good news of what we have, a river in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can drink from, that's going to flow, that we can find what we stand in need of whenever and wherever we need it. That's a great God that we serve. Now he says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So when we came together today, we're expecting and begging the Lord of glory to be with us. And there's a certain way that we ought to respond, because he is here with us. I believe he's here, don't you?
Yeah, amen.
As a matter of fact, when you get in your car and go home this evening, he's going to be there.
Yeah.
And when you get to your house, he's going to be there. And all the way from here to there, he's going to be there. Because he's ever present.
Amen.
He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. But there is a special manifestation of his Spirit and his presence when we gather together in
That's
his
right.
name. Though he's always with us, we don't always get to see him. We don't always get to feel him. But when we meet to worship him, when we come together to serve the Lord and to hear from his word, he manifests his presence just like he comes into your house and sits down at the table and he supplies just what you stand in need of, and it's in a special way. He can take a minister that doesn't have a clue about your needs and lead him to the right place in this book that will feed your heart and feed your soul and feed your mind, even for a need you don't even have yet.
Amen.
I've had him give me something on Sunday that I needed Wednesday,
yeah.
that I didn't even know I needed it Wednesday until it came around. And then what seemed peculiar coming from a minister on Sunday opened up and
yeah.
became very clear that was for you. You needed that. Have you?
Yeah.
You know what that's evidence of? You belong to him. You know what that's evidence of? He's got you in his hand. He doesn't only have your name in his hand, engraved in his hand. You're engraved in his hand. And he said, no man can pluck you out of my hand. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are doubly secure in the hand of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and in the hand of the Father. And we can rest today in the finished work of our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And this little sister, I believe the Lord had allowed her to see it and to know it in a way that Simon couldn't see it and know it, but he's about to be taught. This woman came, she was a sinner, which means she was a noted sinner. Now, which of us today here are not sinners? Well, we know the Bible teaches that we all have what? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I believe that she was more, in a sense, obviously, manifestly a sinner. She was one of those sinners you could just point at and look and know that's a sinner. She was that Pharisee. I thought he was above that. And certainly this woman didn't have any business at his house. So he sat there looking at her like, who does she think she is? As even as they had met and he had asked Jesus to come to his house, he had invited Jesus to his house, just like you and I have invited as we prayed and asked the Lord to bless us. We invite the Lord to manifest his presence among us. Isn't there a behavior that is ought to be in each and every one of us because of the fact that Jesus is present? I say to you that it is. And that's what Jesus was teaching here. He says, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she bought an alabaster box of ointment. This alabaster box was a container of a perfumed ointment, a fragrant oil that was used and was to be used over probably a long period of time. It was a very expensive thing. It wasn't easily come by. And we don't know how she got it. We don't know how she might have had it, what it was for. But I'm telling you what she was going to use it for. She was going to anoint the feet of her Savior. And somebody said, well, what was the symbol in that? She was going to show her devotion and her love and her begging him and thanking him. She was filled with joy because of what the Lord has done for you. Have you ever come to church and not just been filled with joy about what the Lord has done for you? Somebody said, well, I don't know that I ever have. If that's your case and that's your answer today, you probably have. And I don't mean to be harsh about that or rough about that, but I'm telling you, none of us are nearly as happy as we ought to be about what the Lord has done for us.
You're right.
None of us are saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name to the degree that we ought to. I ought to be more thankful. I ought to be more appreciative. I ought to be more recognizing all that the Lord has done for me so that I'm rejoicing. As we heard earlier, he daily loads me with benefits. I don't need to be moping and round and complaining and murmuring like I so often am. And here this little woman, she wasn't doing that. I don't think she was worried about the Pharisee. I don't think she was worried about anybody else in the house. I don't think she was there for them and what they thought of him. It didn't enter her mind. There was only one that she was truly concerned about. And then, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And she came to worship him and to honor him. Now, when we come to the house of God, I'm not saying we ought to disregard one another, but I believe with all my heart, one there is above all others who well deserves the name of friend. One there is above all others that we need to be sure that we're pleasing. And I'll tell you what will happen. When you please him, you'll be at the feet of your brethren. You won't be stomping on their head. You won't be fussing at them or cussing at them or bawling them out or saying anything you ought not say. You'll be loving them. You'll be looking at them not with the prideful eye of a Pharisee, but you'll recognize I'm the chief of sinners and I have no right to be here but by the grace of God. How do you feel today?
Right.
I hope you feel that you are the least. I hope I can feel and want to feel in my heart and need to feel that I am the least. Somebody said, well, why would you want to feel that? Because when you humble yourself, what does the Bible say? He'll lift you up.
Yep.
And when you exalt yourself, what does the Bible say? He will not only humble you, he will abase you.
Right.
And listen, he can knock the stuffings right out of you when you get heady and high-minded. What is that the verse said? That a man that has confidence in himself has a broken tooth?
Tooth and a Foot out of joint.
And a foot out of joint. Now, I tell you what, have you ever seen God's little children walking around with a broken tooth and a foot out of joint? And the reason they are is because if a preacher starts getting confidence in himself, he's going to be like a man with a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And he's going to be a pain to himself, and he's going to be a pain to the congregation.
Amen.
And I tell you what's true of the preacher is going to be true of the deacon. It's going to be true of the brother. It's going to be true of the sister. In order for us to really, truly worship God the way we ought to, we need to feel to be the least among the brethren. And we need to feel that we are at the foot of Jesus, and that we're feeling that where tears flow from your eyes. Listen, don't be ashamed for the tears that flow from your eyes. There's sometimes I'm ashamed because I can't seem to muster up a tear. There's sometimes my heart is so cold and it seems so dark that I can't weep like I want to weep, and I can't pray like I want to pray. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed of the tears that might flow from your eyes. This little woman wasn't ashamed because she took those tears and she washed the feet of her Savior. She wasn't ashamed because she took the hairs of her head and she wiped his feet. She was there and she took that alabaster box of ointment and that which many would have said is a waste. She spent what she had there in worshiping God. I said to you, that's where I ought to be. That's where you ought to be. You know why? Because he's been so good to us.
Amen.
Sometimes we can see someone doing that and saying, I don't know what they think they're doing. Why are they putting on such a show? This woman wasn't putting on a show. She wasn't putting on entertainment. She was worshiping her God. And if they look at you and make fun or light of you, and when you're doing that, so be it. Let them say what they are. And if you feel the urge in your heart to give a voice, a shout of praise to Almighty God, so be it. That's what He's called us to do. He's here at this house, and He was pleased with the woman and what she did, and He was surely displeased with Simon. Now listen to Simon. Now when the Pharisee, verse 39 says, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet. What a silly man. If he were a prophet. Listen, he was more than a prophet. He said that about John the Baptist. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yeah. He's more than a prophet. And I'm telling you, John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to unloose the latches of the one that's going to follow me. This was the very word of God that had made itself manifest in the flesh, who was here to save his people from their sins. This was the prophet of all prophets. This is the prophet that Moses pointed to and that the law and the prophets pointed to. This is the Son of God. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one who had made everything that was, and without him was not anything made that was made. And this man thought he knew more than this prophet, that he knew more about that woman. Listen, Jesus knew more about him than he knew about himself. And he knows more about us than you and I know about ourselves. He knows where we are today. He knows who you are, and he knows no need to make to. All things are naked and open unto him with whom we have to do. That's a wonderful thing to think about. And yet it's a frightful thing, because he knows my heart. It says, what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. You know who would agree with her or with him? That little woman would agree with him right then when she knew she was a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. And he gives this little parable. He says, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Big difference there between 50 and 500. 500 pence and the other 50. But when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. And I've often thought it doesn't matter if you're 50 pence in debt or if you're 500 in pence in debt, if you don't have anything to pay, you're in trouble, right? Whichever one you are.
Right.
James says if they're guilty in one point, how much of the law are you guilty of?
All of
them. You're guilty of it all. The Bible says the wages of sin is what?
Death.
So if I have one sin, the wages of sin is what?
Death.
If I have 100 sins, the wages of sin is what? So whether I have one or a hundred, I'm not saying it doesn't matter in every circumstance, but I'm saying to you, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And without the grace of Almighty God, we're all in trouble.
Amen.
And the wonderful thing is, He frankly forgave them both. That means He freely forgave them both. So the only right I have to this place today is the free grace of Almighty God. And the only right you have is the free grace of Almighty God.
Amen.
So should we ever be sitting there looking at one another in any way of judgment at all, the answer to that is absolutely not. But we should not be even looking at one another in other than in the light of looking first to the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. And then we'll be weeping and we'll be wanting to wash His feet with the tears that flow from our eyes. We'll want to be wiping His feet with the hairs from our head, and we want to take the most valuable things that we have in our lives and apply them in the service of Almighty God. That's where we ought to be today. He says, and when they had nothing to pay, He frankly forgave them both. He says, tell me therefore which of them will love Him most. And that is the one that goes on and he says, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom He forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, and I love this conversation. I hope you follow it. He says, seest thou this woman? In other words, you look at this woman. He said, I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. That's what you did, Simon. And when the Lord came and visited with us today, were we looking to Him? Did we give Him water for His feet? Now, I mean, what does that mean? Are we showing proper service to God? Are we focusing on Him? Are we where we ought to be in our minds and in our thoughts in our service to Him? Is He the focus of our service? Or do other things sometimes get in our way? Does our mind run over here and over there? And sometimes we grow cold because of that. He says, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but look at this woman. But she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You know what that showed? That she was thankful and wanted to offer unto Him praise and adoration and thanksgiving for all that He had done for her. And that was the focus of His attention. He goes on and he says, thou gavest me no kiss. This was His house, but He didn't give a water for her feet. He didn't give her a kiss. He didn't offer Jesus water for His feet. He didn't give Him a kiss. But this woman, since the time I came, had not ceased to kiss my feet. He said, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. He says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Now some people might read this and very quickly conclude because she had done this or some other thing, that was why her sins were forgiven. That's not what it's teaching. As a matter of fact, it's teaching really just the opposite. The first thing that happened was the what? He frankly forgave them both. The first thing that happens is we're forgiven. And that forgiveness didn't come because we do something. The forgiveness came when we did nothing. The forgiveness came when we had nothing but need. The forgiveness was shown unto us and the mercy of God was shown unto us when we were yet in our sins and didn't have any desire to serve Him at all. But now when He came and frankly forgave us, here's where we show the love for the forgiveness that has been shown to us. And He's saying this, the more that you and I feel forgiven, the more we're going to be showing Him love. And the less that we feel like we need forgiveness of, the more we're going to take it for granted. So really, when we take things for granted that the Lord has done and we don't thank Him like we ought to, we're really showing Him that we don't think we've really been forgiven that much, that He really hasn't done very much for me. That sure makes it look different, doesn't it? It does for me. I want you to remember today how much God has forgiven you.
Amen.
That's why when a old brother is preaching and standing in front of you telling you how rotten and no good you are, you ought to be amening and recognizing that's exactly me that he's talking about. Because that means when Jesus died on the cross, He paid the price for me, and that was a great price that He paid, and I owe Him, don't we? I owe Him everything. Do you owe Him everything?
Amen.
I owe Him everything.
Praise
And therefore, I ought to be doing my very best in serving him and honoring him and praising him. He says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. In other words, her love for him is in response to how much she feels forgiven. How much do you feel forgive? I hope a lot. If you feel like a lot, you do what? You love in return. I love him a lot. You know why I love him? Because he's forgiven me so much. He's been so good to me. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. I love that word. Isn't that something you could really take in your heart today and leave with when you hear him say unto you, I hope you hear it today, thy sins are forgiven. Now, when did Jesus forgive sins? But when he died on the cross, our sins were washed from us as far as the east is from the west, and our sins had been forgiven. But I tell you, you and I need a timely application of that, don't we? I need to feel that in my heart this evening, because I've sinned against the Lord even this day. Things that trouble me, things that I've thought, things that I've done. And even when I would do good, the Bible says, evil is present with me. And so I need to hear today, in order to have peace with the Lord, thy sins are forgiven. Can you hear him say that to you? Just as he said it to her, he says, he saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? I love to think about what the answer to that question is. You know who it is that forgives sins? It's the man, one that came as the Son of God, who was verily God, who went to the cross, and there in his own body paid the sin debt for every one of his little children. And he has the right and he has the authority as God to forgive sins, because that's who he was. And then it says, and he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Now, somebody would say, well, see, she had to have faith and then believe, and then that's how she got saved eternally. This wasn't talking anything about how she was saved eternally. Exactly. It's talking about how she had some peace right there in that home, exactly, that day, that moment,
right
in the
Amen.
Fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, when you and I come to the house of God and we have fellowship with him and we commune with him, we get saved.
Yep.
We don't get saved for heaven and immortal glory, but we get saved right now, this moment, because
Amen.
We have peace in our heart.
Amen.
Because I'm resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope every time you go to church, you get saved. I don't mean eternally. I mean for that moment and that hour and that day. I hope as you're riding down the road that you'll feel the Lord's presence with you to the point that you're saved. And that as you're trusting in him, because you feel that deliverance. We have a promise of eternal salvation. It's an inheritance that awaits us that can never be taken away. It's inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, that's reserved in heaven for you.
Amen.
But I've got troubles in this world, don't you?
Yeah.
I've got problems in this world. There's the billows and the storms have risen. There are valleys of Baca that we travel through in this world, and we need to make a well, and we need to go from strength to strength and find peace with the Lord. I need that daily salvation that comes from him. And that's what she had. He says, he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. And by the way, where did her faith come from? She didn't get it herself. It was the gift of God given to her. But she used it, and she trusted in him. You know what that old Pharisee was trusting in? He had a broken tooth.
Yeah.
He had a foot out of joint.
Amen.
Sometimes we come to church with a broken tooth and a foot out of joint, because we're trusting in ourselves rather than in the Lord. When you trust in the Lord, you won't have a broken tooth. You won't have a foot out of joint. You'll have the peace that comes in exercising your faith and in trusting in him. His faith, thy faith saved thee. And that's what. And here's what he said. Go in peace.
There you go.
Hey, that's where I want to go today, don't you? I want to go in peace.
Amen.
That's why I come to the house of God, because I need peace.
Yeah.
That's why I read the Bible, because I need peace.
Yeah.
That's why I go to the Lord in prayer, because I need peace. In this world, you'll have what? Tribulation. Absolutely. But be a good cheer. Why should I be a good cheer? Because he's what? He's overcome the world.
Yeah.
And in me, he says, I come, and in me you might have peace. The world says peace, peace, where there is no peace. You see, peace treaties signed, and before the ink gets dried on the line, somebody's fired a shot, fighting with one another again. We say we got peace in our homes. We think we'll make up and have peace. And you think you can do it on your own? You'll be fighting before you get out of the other room. You'll be fussing with one another soon. Doesn't that happen? I know it happens in my home. Maybe y'all's homes are not like my home in that sense, but I think it probably is. We have troubles, and there's only one way that we're going to have peace in your home. There's only one place where you're going to have peace in your church. There's only one way you're going to have peace in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul, and that's resting in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you rest in Him, your faith will save you. That's Him saving you. That's Him that delivers you.
Yep.
You trust it in Him and it'll save you and you'll have peace. And you know what that'll make you do? Get close to Him as you can with an eye full of tears and wash His feet with your tears and wipe them with the hairs of your head to be at His feet, submissive at His feet, and take the most valuable things that you have and offer them in the service of God to the honor and the praise and the glory of God. I'm not talking about stuff. I'm talking about giving your heart, your soul, and your mind in service to God so that we're not worshiping with a half heart, but a whole heart.
Yeah.
I've worshiped far too many times half-heartedly. How about you? May the Lord bless me and grant me repentance. And I ask Him for forgiveness that I might come to church every time, looking to the Lord, leaning to the Lord. That I might come to the pulpit, not with a broken tooth, and not with a foot out of joint, but I have my confidence in Him.
Yeah.
Because when my confidence is in Him, I can be confident. Because you know what? He will not fail.
Amen.
You know who will fail?
I will.
Me and you. Every single time.
Amen.
I appreciate your kind attention. Thank you for the water, Brother Jerry, even though I'm not going to drink it till now. But I appreciate you all listening.
Amen.
You have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.